All right, good morning again. We'll get started. I made 30 copies. We can make more copies next week if we need to. We are going to be studying from the book of Philippians. Before we get started, can somebody read for me 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17? Can anybody get their term for that? Read it nice and loud. We're spread out. I caught you off guard, didn't I? 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. We should know it by heart, but we'll read it.
All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Thank you. So that's my premise whenever I study. There's different styles of teachers, and what you'll this is my style. I'm not the every little detail where they are, what they are. When I study how does this apply to me? How do I apply it in my life? How do I impress it upon others as I'm presenting it that this is information that we personally need? All scripture, so all scripture is given. So we're not going to spend a lot of time in this class on the who's, what's, and where's. We'll get the necessary parts. But what we really want to look at, and the premise of this lesson, is understanding and practicing having the mind of Christ. So that's going to be our premise as we study this. But we're going to do just a little exercise. This may seem weird, but we're going to do it anyway. I'll explain why after. So I want you to put your Bibles down, I want you to put your phones down, and I want you to pay attention to what I say. And then you're going to have, we're going to have a total of 5 minutes of discussion, and then it's going to stop. And it doesn't matter where we're at in the discussion, it doesn't matter what we've accomplished, we're just going to stop. Okay? So are we ready? I'm not ready, my phone shut off. Go back to 5 minutes. Okay, listen closely. I read this to my wife yesterday, and the look on her face, it should be good. A mistake repeated more than once is a decision. Thoughts. Who agrees? Who disagrees? Okay.
One more time.
A mistake repeated more than once is a decision. Okay, so what are your thoughts? This is rapid fire. So throw a hand up and then say some words. Go ahead, Dan.
It's either a decision or it's maybe laziness.
Okay. All right. Bob?
It worked for me because you haven't made a conscious effort to change it.
Okay. Now, I saw a negative back there. Let's hear it.
Mistake means an accident. It's a mistake, and it can happen twice. As you're hopefully learning from that mistake.
Okay. Was that you also? Yeah.
It might take more than once or twice to change.
Okay, perfect. Anybody else? Faye.
You have to identify it within yourself that it is a mistake.
Okay, perfect. 3 minutes. What else do we got? Is that it? Are we done? No other thoughts?
We always tell our students that mistake is you trying harder, maybe, to make be successful.
Okay, Faye?
Who do we base it on? Or how do we base it on? What do we base it on as being a mistake? Is it a mistake everybody or is it a mistake only to you?
Okay. Carol?
Same sort of thing.
Be loud when we talk. So we got people in the back. Shy people that sit way, way, way.
When I was teaching, if you make a mistake, there's nothing wrong with making a mistake, but you need to learn from your mistakes.
Okay.
But you can't learn from your mistake if you don't know it's a mistake. So the fact that you're not listening to something or to the right something means that you will habitually make that same mistake over again because you have no guidance to have you go another direction. So that's why when God saves us in baptism, that it's like, I have all of this baggage. I was making all these mistakes. You can't just change it all at once, but he forgives it all.
Okay. Bob?
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Shame on me. Okay, so now we're hearing pretty good arguments, both sides, right? And we're spending enough time on this, really 5 minutes is plenty of time to spend on such a thing. And I, like I say, I'm not going to expound on it a bunch. But when I first read that, and I read that about 3 or 4 weeks ago, the way my brain works is I read things like this and I think, I can do a sermon on that. And I start a sermon on that, but I never preach. So I have all kinds of sermons started. I've got several rattling around in my head. I have thoughts going all the time, you know. But I read that and I thought, that's something to think about. So as I go through life and I make mistakes, so as a young Christian, we make mistakes, right? So we get baptized, we come out of the water of baptisms with the best of intentions, and we make mistakes. So for me, maybe it's bad language. Maybe I slip and I fall and I use that bad language, or maybe I'm abrupt with my wife, whatever it is. What really got me thinking is I had decided that I was the lousiest trainer of employees on the planet because I somehow have managed to hire 5 or 6 individuals that can't remember how to tie their shoes, let alone follow the simple steps that I teach them. And it was always an excuse. And so this really resonated with me. When I show you how to do something and you do that something right, and then tomorrow you can't remember that something and you make this mistake, and so I correct you, and then the next day you come back and you make the same mistake. At some point, it's a decision not to improve ourselves. We make that conscious decision. We just ran out of time. So I'm going to stop right there. We're not going to talk about it anymore. What's the purpose of that exercise? Hopefully, while you are doing other things today, that thing will rattle around in your head, and you'll think about it, and you go, you know what? I think this, or I think that. Do we ever do that in a Bible class? Do we ever get to the end of a Bible class, and we're like, you know what? I think we should have talked about this, or I think we should have talked about that. But do we talk to the teacher about that? No, what do? We talk to the person next to us. I do this all the time. I'm guilty. That's why I'm bringing this up. I'm like, I don't know why we didn't cover these verses. So the elders have been gracious enough, or foolish, I haven't decided, to not give me a time limit. So we have 4 chapters to study, but we have as much time as we need to study the book of Philippians. Which means if we're going through this at a decent pace, but you're looking at it and you get done with class one day and you think to yourself, or you're talking to the person next to you, I don't know why we didn't talk about this. Well, I need to know about it. I need to know about it so that we can start out the next class period discussing it. Because I believe what 2 Timothy says, and that is all scripture is given for our benefit. So we want to make sure, sometimes, my wife can attest to this, Ava has been in my classes, you can hear how fast I talk from time to time when I get on a roll. Sometimes we get going and we just forget things. But I think that this study of Philippians, the practicing the mind of Christ, is an extremely important series. And I think each and every one of us at the end of this series hopefully we'll have made some sort of change in our lives. I don't think that, as awesome as you guys are, that anybody in here is perfect. So, no, I'm not. And even if I tried to lie to you, my wife and Nicole would straighten everybody out. So, we're not even going to fake it. So, going to our lesson sheet. And I have full disclosure. I had every intention. Bob and I have talked several times about how much we're just not a fan of canned lessons. I got asked to do this on fairly short notice for somebody that works 70 hours a week. And as I was studying, and I was freaking out a little bit because my wife is my secretary. She does all my typing. She does my spelling corrections, all of that. So anytime I hand you something that's from me, it's gone through my wife's hands first, just so that it's legible. I found this lesson series, and it lined up with the direction that I wanted to go with this class. So this is, in fact, a canned lesson. Does that mean we're going to follow somebody else's lesson plan? No. If you know anything about me, then you know that that's not going to happen. We're going to cover what we feel like we need to cover. I'm hoping for open discussion in this class. If we don't understand something, ask questions. If I can't answer it, got my little notepad and my pen, we'll write it down. If it's something that we need to address later, we'll address it later. But I believe that this is a fairly straightforward lesson. So the purpose of the book of Philippians, in this writer's opinion and in my opinion, it's all about relationships. So it focuses on the relationships with Christ and how that affects our relationships with one another. Does everybody agree with that? Disagree with that? Never thought about that? So we'll just keep it kind of straightforward right at the moment. Can somebody, and I'm going to have you read a lot for a couple of reasons. One, I'm blind. And some days I can see out of my glasses. Some days I can't see out of my glasses. But also I want us to participate. I want us to talk. Now, we have a few people in here that talk a lot. Cool. But some of you don't talk at all. And I want to hear from you. I want to know what you're thinking. I want you to participate. And the reason I want that is because it's good for you, and it's also good for other people. I mean, I don't know how many of you have been just so encouraged by Kirsten and her involvement in all Bible classes since she started coming and attending with us. And the questions that she asks, and you're like, never really thought about that. Or I haven't thought about that in years, and I just have skipped. So you don't know what you're cheating your fellow brethren by not participating with you. Okay? So when we open ourselves up in a public forum, we become more approachable. And we help people. So if you're struggling in an area that I've just breezed over, and you don't say anything, well, then that other shy person on the other side of the room who's struggling that same thing thinks that they're the only one that doesn't get it. Well, I've spent my life not getting it. So we're just going to understand that we're here to study through this. So I need somebody to turn over to Philippians chapter 2 and read for me verse 5.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, being in the form of God.
Nope, just verse 5. Cheater.
I can't read.
Quit jumping ahead.
Sorry.
I gave you a lesson, I mean.
I know. I'm a hard worker.
You are a hard worker. What does that mean? What's it mean to let this be in you, which was also in Jesus, be the mind of Jesus? What's that mean? What are we talking about?
Mine uses the word attitude.
Okay. I think that's an excellent word. Okay. Anybody else? Carol?
Characteristics.
Characteristics.
In other words, what you see in Jesus, how he acted, how he spoke, what he put first in his life. Those are the things that we're supposed to model.
Okay. Our perspectives on people.
I like your word mindset.
Okay.
That's a key term lately in school is your mindset.
Your mindset, yeah.
Like just how you are able to don't self-doubt yourself. Talk to yourself in positives, not negatives. Because it's your mindset. If you're always negative, then you're going to maybe be negative. But Christ wasn't negative. He was always positive. He always had something to say.
So. Correct. And I think that's an excellent point. So, you know, I went through a really dark period where I was very negative. So I was mad at everybody. I work 70 hours a week. I have poor health. And then I have other responsibilities outside. You know, when we look at our responsibility list just here at the building, you know, and you start thinking, oh, I'm the only one that works. I'm the only one that does anything. I'm the only one that cares. Nobody ever does this for me. Nobody ever does that for me. And what do we do when we get that mindset? We stop doing for other people, don't we? And if we have a negative outlook on life, we have a negative form of conversation. And then we look at other people's actions in a negative manner. So what was Christ's first and foremost driving factor? He loved us.
He died.
Who do you love more than us? His Father. And what did he do? He obeyed his father to the point of death for our benefit. He loved us. So he just loved us, though, right? Just us.
Everybody. Well, that was, he loved everyone, and he put everyone ahead of himself as a servant. And that's one of the big things in society right now with bullying and commentators and everybody. They're always putting people down instead of valuing that person. And so you have the negative talk and nothing ever gets done because you devalued that person. They're not important, so you don't have to solve the problem.
Exactly. So last week we had a Baptist, which was awesome. Okay, but just prior to that individual coming into the building and sitting down, he came in at the last part of services. I don't know how many of you noticed the gentleman sitting in the back corner who came in, was clearly under the influence. My guess is heroin, fentanyl, based on his reactions. He sat in the back, and he sat through two services. And it would have been really easy for us to just go, oh, gross, right? But we greet him, and then other people greet him. So Mark sat with him and talked with him. We were very open with him. Hey, are you high? Are you under the influence? We want you here. God loves you, but you can't be here if you're high, because it's a hazard to our members. That's things that the safety team does here. But we welcomed him, right? Why? Because when I look at, when you drive down the road and you see the homeless and you see all of the atrocities that are going on in the world, it's really easy to look down our nose at those individuals and just be disgusted by them. Is that Christ's mindset? No. And so that's a struggle. That's a struggle that I have as someone who runs a business and has to deal with vandalism and theft. Got a dent in the side of my truck out there from someone who was under the influence, throwing a rock. You know, what do you do? The human side of me wants to beat him to a pulp. Mind of Christ. That's just a thing. And the person that damaged that thing was so valuable that I died for him. So you see where we're going to go in this class? We're going to get right down to it as we study through the book of Philippians and look at how we look at the world around us and how we respond to the world around us, but also how we look at our relationship with our brethren and what we do for our brethren. It's not simply just going to be going book, chapter, verse, and just read, well, this is what they were talking about, and that's what they were talking about. So, Eileen, since you were so eager, would you read Philippians 2, 6 through 8?
Who being in the form, am I starting the room? Yeah, okay. I'm having trouble reading, though. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, and made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of his cross.
Thank you. So what were some characteristics that Christ took on following his father's characteristics?
He was a bondservant, humble. He was obedient.
Okay. How about selfless? Are we selfless or are we selfish? What motivates us? Am I making that noise? Okay. Okay.
Verse 4 helps us a little bit on your question. You do look out for your own personal interests, but you also look out for interests of others.
Correct. But shouldn't our interests kind of align?
Yeah.
So as I'm looking out for my own interest, my own spiritual well-being, my relationship to God, shouldn't that be yours too? Shouldn't we be trying to align? Carol?
Yes, but even Jesus, when the crowds thronged in on him and took too much from him, he didn't just keep giving. He withdrew to pray to God, to spend time to find out how to strengthen himself. But sometimes you have to have a distance, and it's not wrong for you to have a distance between something else.
See, I think that's an excellent point. And it's not one that in the past I was very good at. So we were just having this conversation yesterday, why I put myself in the position that I put myself in life, committing to too much, committing to too many customers, committing to too many things. It was years ago, my wife got all the ladies together at church and said, stop asking my husband to do things. Because I didn't have the ability to say no. I have the physical ability to do those things, and this hero complex, I think is what you call it, to want to be everybody's
go-to.
Sometimes in my world as a cabinet maker, you know, these people are like, well, I'm not worried about it. You're a miracle worker. You're this, you're that. That goes to your head. When everybody looks to you, it goes to your head. But the problem is, when you, like Jesus, when Jesus needed to step away, and I don't think Jesus is going to fall into the same trap that I fall into, but when Jesus needed to step away, sometimes I need to step away, because you give, 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 you get angry. And then you start looking at your brethren as helpless. In some cases, worthless. We develop the wrong kind of attitude. So as we're putting on the mind of Christ, we want to make sure that the things that we're doing are to benefit the growth of the congregation, that are to benefit our spiritual growth and relationship with Christ, so that we are that light on a hill that people can see. You know, we oftentimes talk about how we need to just get out there and knock on doors and introduce people to the gospel. But what's more effective? I don't know how many doors John has knocked on, but I know enough about John to know that he carries himself in such a way that his employees know that Christ is important to him. So we're teaching the world by our actions. We can stand in a pulpit and we can say all kinds of great and grand things, but then if we walk out that door with a scowl on our face and mad at the world and thinking that we're the only ones that ever get anything done and we're the only ones that do it right, why doesn't so-and-so do more? We're sending a mixed message, aren't we? Excuse me. So we're going to focus, and as you can see by the time, we're going to need more than 4 weeks. We're going to focus on developing that mind of Christ in ourselves. I tend, when I do preach, when I do teach, I tend to focus on the things that I need. So I can assure you that I'm not standing in this position saying, you guys need to do better. I got excited about this book and this lesson series because it's what I need to do better. So we're going to work on it together. And then what we're going to do is, and we're probably not going to get through this entire lesson, but at the end of each lesson, you'll see a challenge. And we're going to try to focus on that and see how we do for a week. Some of us will fulfill those challenges just naturally. We'll just do it automatically. That's just who we are. And some of us won't. But what we're going to find is if we can put into practice these simple things, that when we get through the end of this study, we're all going to have grown somewhat in one direction or another. So I really hope that each and every one of us will dig into each of these lessons and just take a look at it. I mean, the more we study at home, the easier it is for us to have open dialogue when we're in class, I believe. So, background. When do we read about Paul first going to Philippi? Does anybody know?
You said Acts 16.
Yeah. So if you don't know the answer to the questions, look down. Because they're all there. Look, be really smart. Be the first one to answer every single time. You're like, wow, she really studied. It's right there. So let's turn over to the book of Acts. And we're going to read in Acts chapter 16, and we'll read verses 6 through 10 first. Should have marked my book, so I'd be faster. So Acts chapter 16, 6 through 10. Who wants to read that for me?
I'll go ahead.
Okay.
All right. And so they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. I'm going to stop there. I always found that really interesting that he didn't want him to go to Asia. Why?
That's a really good question. And I think that that's one that we will talk about. I'll write myself a note. We'll study it a little bit more.
Because they're the Chinese people. I mean, they're Asian people, Chinese, Japanese, so why wouldn't you? I don't know. I always found that really interesting that he, forbid them even going that way.
So, but let's remember that he forbid him to go that way right now.
Right now.
Okay. So he forbid him right now. And so then what we want to remember from that point on is what's happening next. So God had a purpose in sending Paul the direction that he went. So let's just stop right there and put that on us. Now, does God guide and direct every step that we take? Trick question. God has nothing to do with how I build cabinets. Has everything to do with why I build cabinets the way that I build cabinets. Why I spend so much time making sure they're perfect for my customer to make my customer happy. But he doesn't guide me in everything. But sometimes people come into our lives, don't they? Or sometimes people leave our lives. Sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes great things happen. And if we can approach those situations, now sometimes it's just bad luck. But in every situation, I feel like we have an opportunity for growth and for good. If we open our eyes and we look at it and we embrace it and we trust that God is not going to put us anywhere that we shouldn't be. So we are going to revisit your question and I'll get you information on when and where. And I have to remember that you're in my class, so I have to be more prepared. So go ahead and finish reading for me, please.
All right. So, and when they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A certain man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them.
Very good. And if we drop down to verse 12, we'll read that on their way to Macedonia, they're going to come through Philippi. And then they're going to spend some time in Philippi. And good things are going to happen in Philippi. Okay? Somebody else read 2 Corinthians 2, verses 12 through 13. Can't home, I have a mic on.
Read it. Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, I found that the Lord had opened a door for me. I still have no reason to climb because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia.
Okay. So Paul sent, right? But he made a comment there and that I want us to look at. He opened a door. What, have we ever heard of that? You know, when God closes the door, he opens the window, whatever. I mean, we kind of just brush by that because it's things that people say. But his not going to Asia and heading to Macedonia opened a door for the furtherance of the gospel. Introduced him to Lydia. Who else did he meet?
Jailer.
Who did he meet before the jailer? How did he meet the jailer?
The slave girl. The slave girl.
So the slave girl was running around and she was, you know, basically divination. She was telling the future. She was doing these things. And she was doing it for profit for these individuals. And she was following Paul. And she was pestering. And he turned around and cast out that demon. And her master got angry. So they threw him in jail. And then we know the story about Paul and the Philippian jailer and how through those miraculous events, the Philippian jailer and his whole household were baptized. So all of these individuals became a part of what started that work there in Philippi. Carol.
Yeah. Open doors don't always look like they're open. In other words, this whole thing where he goes there and he gets slammed and put into jail doesn't look like an open door.
Yeah, it doesn't feel great, right?
It's not where he would have gone. It's not where he would have led himself. But because he was open to what Christ had said to him and what Christ had done, the door was continually open even though he was in jail.
So I think about when I read this verse, people like Carolyn Brown. And we've had other members of our congregation that were bedridden in a hospital. And they had these caretakers that would come in. And every chance they got, they would talk to these caretakers about the gospel. And we have had in the past people who came and became members and worshiped with us for a time that were a result of something horrible happening to a member of the church. So open doors don't always look all that appealing. They don't always look wonderful. But our dear sister Carolyn Brown, even though nobody from her care facility has necessarily come here to meet with us, we know that anybody that just gives all glory to God, even when they are going through such horrible, horrible times, plants a seed. And they plant a seed that's different than any kind of seed that I could ever plant. Because the world, what does the world see when things go wrong? What does the world do? They blame God, right? Because they don't understand. So I have this little friend, Izzy, that makes my coffee and apparently, you know, periodically comes and has lunch with me. Her dad died of ALS. And she is angry. She's angry at God. And even though we talk about God and biblical things, She's not open to it right now. So the world will see bad things happening and they will blame God. And so when we go through struggles, when we don't get to go the absolute direction that we want to go, maybe we lose a job, maybe we lose a spouse, maybe we lose a child, which I cannot imagine recovering from. But maybe we're going through those things. How do we respond? When I can go through hardships and still give all glory to God, when we can get news that Carolyn Brown's granddaughter has committed suicide and have Carolyn Brown come on our screen and say, I will still give all glory to God. That's Satan. That touches people, doesn't it? So Paul wanted to go this direction, was told, no, you go this direction. Things didn't always work out going this direction. And yet, for the furtherance of the gospel, they worked out beautifully. So as we're studying and we're practicing the mind of Christ, what we want to do is be open. Like my wife can tell you, I'm the king of pity parties sometimes when I'm at home. You know, oh, poor me, oh, poor me, oh, poor me. Why? I hurt all the time. I have to do this. I have to do that. You know, and she's like, I know, dear. Yeah, it's, you're fine. Sure.
Back to a mistake. I want, it made me think of when God talked to Cain about not doing the right thing on the altar. It's one of those verses that really resonates with me. And God sits down with him and says, if you just do what's right, your countenance will be good. That mistake to God is not this great big huge thing. He just says, turn around and start doing what's right.
Yeah.
And we don't always remember to tell people that or to tell ourselves that. You made a mistake? Okay. Figure it out. Do what you can. And maybe this next time, if you're trying to change something, maybe you need to think, well, now how do I catch myself? You know, when I had trouble with language, I go, well, what am I going to say? Well, we had a sermon on power. Dynamis was like a word for power, like dynamite. And so what do I feel like when I lose my temper? Bam! My temper just flares. Okay, so I'd say dynamis, not because I wanted to say it something else, but because I was realizing that my temper was flaring and I just blew it up and it helped me get over that. So
good point. Were you gonna say something? You moved, Michael.
Oh no.
Are you sure? Okay, you gotta be careful. Yeah, I don't have great vision, but I spot movement. When I was a deer hunter, if they stood still, I'd walk right by them. But if those things flinch, close. So sit really still if you don't want to get called on. No, I think that's a really good point. And it goes back to that very first thing. It's when we make mistakes, when we fall short, when we have a wrong attitude, no matter what it is that we're doing, what do we do next? You know, raising children. We had a very strong-willed daughter. Turned out to be awesome. But what would happen when she would do something wrong and I dropped the hammer on her, she would do the next 10 things wrong. And Vicki and I were just talking about how she parents completely different than I parented, and it's amazing. She has a 4-year-old little boy, or almost 4, that has, no, he's a little boy, he does things wrong. But he has the most amazing conflict resolution built into him already and problem-solving skills. Because she helps him when he does things wrong to see what way he should do them. There's consequences when he does things wrong. But she loves him through it. And it makes me wonder How much different but would she be the parent she is if she didn't have the parent she had? I don't know. I don't know. But there's all these lessons that we can learn in life. But it does. It goes back to that first thing, a mistake repeated. So if we're going to continually repeat those mistakes, are we putting on the mind of Christ? Are we following the mind of Christ? Are we following the example of Christ? Are we being dutiful as Christ? If our Father said to us, you know what, you need to die for these people. What would our answer be? When we look at them and go, well, most of them are pretty old. They've had good lives. Bob?
Well, it goes back to this mistake idea or parenting. First off, you start from where you're at, always. And you make a personal choice whether or not to deal with the mistake or just ignore it and go with the flow. And as a parent, a new parent, you're starting from where you're at based on your parents and maybe your grandparents too. You make a personal choice whether or not you want to follow their parenting or whether you think maybe there's a better alternative. Like my wife had terrible parents being adopted, and she got this book, Dreiker's Method of Parenting, which was a consequence thing. You allow the child to make the decision in a subtle way. So, but it takes more effort. That's my point. You have to be involved in
that,
whatever it is.
Exactly. And that was the whole premise behind the first thing that we did. It seems harsh to say that a mistake repeated is a decision, right? Doesn't that seem judgmental? But really, if we're trying to better ourselves as Christians, and I'm just going to give you a work-related example. I hired this boy. And no one will tell you, no one stood in the pulpit and said, working for Dean is easy. You just do things exactly the way he shows you every single time. So I would show this boy how to do things. And 3 days later, I would have to show him how to do them again. And then 2 days later, he would be doing that exact same job. And it's a simple job. It's not a hard job. And he would be doing nothing correct. And so we had to have a hard discussion. You know what? You're exhausting. I don't have time to do this every day. So get yourself a notepad. I don't expect you to remember everything. Get yourself a notepad and write down the steps to every job that you do. That's simple, right? Do you think he did it? Nope. He didn't do it. And so I don't like to fire anybody. I think it's a negative mark on your record. So I sat him down again and I said, have you considered doing something else? Because I really don't think this is going to work for you. Glassy-eyed, didn't really get it. So I fired him. I'm not sure he understands that he's been fired. But I fired him. Why? Was it because he couldn't remember anything? No. It's because he wouldn't make the conscious effort to do it right. That's where I was going with that statement. So we are going to get into our lesson. This is just introduction. This is just trying to understand how I'm going to teach. So next week, follow this lesson, and then the next lesson is in the back, although I doubt that we will get to it because we're going to go through and complete everything on our first lesson sheet, and then we're just going to work our way through.